into the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. And I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite. And I am back live in Los Angeles. Just got back in from New York. I'm fresh off the plane from New York, but I'm here for you. And we're ready to chop up some real good game tonight. Don't forget to subscribe to this show on iTunes. Go to iTunes and type in Tariq Radio or Tariq Elite Radio and subscribe and get all the new shows on Tariq Elite Radio. Now, it's going to be a deep topic on today's show today. I'm going to talk about the single mother syndrome and are black people finally fed up with the single mother syndrome. But before we get into that, we're going to do a quick commercial break and we will be right back on Tariq Elite Radio right after this commercial break, family. Here we go. KSultra.com t-shirts. This month's shirt is dedicated to those seeking power. In the book 48 Laws of Power by Robert Greene, the author advises seekers of power how to look in both directions at once, like the Roman god Janus, depicted with two faces, one looking to the past, one looking to the future. This month's t-shirt comes with a booklet describing the design, and it also comes with free stickers. Sign up for the t-shirt subscription right now. Mac Lessons Radio listeners, use the coupon code KFLEX and get 50% off of everything on your first month. Go to KSultra.com. Are you looking for a discount at a certain store, but you can't seem to find the right prices you want? Are you looking for a gift for a special someone, but you don't want to break the bank? If so, go to premiumitemsforcheap.com for all your needs. Whether it's headphones, televisions, or video games, go to premiumitemsforcheap.com. Make sure you type in the coupon code 10% to get 10% off on all items over $50. That's premiumitemsforcheap.com.
You're now tuning into the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen, on Tariq Elite Radio, and I am your gracious host again. This is Tariq Elite and all that good stuff. And don't forget, check out TariqRadio.com to get all the new shows. And don't forget to get the leather jackets at TariqElite.com, the leather jackets that's going to be on sale only for a few more weeks, and get all the t-shirts and hats and all that good stuff at TariqElite.com, ladies and gentlemen. But let's get right into today's topic, ladies and gentlemen. I want to talk about a major discussion that's been going on social media right now for the last couple of days. There's been a lot of debating and a lot of talk on Twitter, Facebook, and social media outlets about single motherhood in the black community. And there's finally a pushback of this syndrome from a lot of people in the black community, because for a long time, the black community has kind of turned a blind eye or sat and remained silent because of the single mother syndrome. And the black community has given it a pass to a certain degree. And if any of you are familiar with my work, I've been going in on the single mother syndrome for many, many years on my old the podcast Mac Lessons Radio Show. If you go back to the old archives of 2006, I would touch on that many times. And I predicted a lot of stuff. And I also predicted that around this time, around 2013 or 14, the majority of black females are going to get their minds right and they're going to start repudiating some of that nonsense that go on within the black female community, because they don't want to have that stigma on them. So go back and listen to some of those old archive shows at MacLessonsRadio.com where I touched on a lot of this stuff. And also, let's go back farther than that. If you look at my book, Player Be Played, that was written in 2003, 10 years ago, I talked about that. I've always been going in on hood rats, you know, but I've been heavily criticized for going in on the hood rat mentality, hood rat behavior. I've been criticized for telling men to stay away from the hood rat mentality, having females who just want to have a bunch of kids by different dudes. I've been heavily criticized for warning men against that. Now we're at a point where a lot of people within the black community are justifiably fed up with a lot of this single mother syndrome that goes on in the black community. And a lot of people talk about it now. Some people talk about it in a more progressive way. Some people talk about it in a more vitriolic way. But people are talking about it. And a lot of sisters are talking out against it. And recently on social media, a lot of people in the black community, they're discussing a recent interview or a dialogue that happened with two black feminists. Melissa Harris Perry or Perry Harris? Which one is it? Melissa Harris Perry or Perry. I can never get that woman's name right. Melissa Perry Harris. There you go. Melissa Perry Harris. Her and Bell Hooks. She and Bell Hooks, they were doing a talk. They were having a dialogue recently. And something very interesting happened. And people, you know how I feel about black feminism. I've been very critical of black feminism. And a lot of people now are criticizing, and not just criticizing, but calling out a lot of the hypocrisy in black feminism. And again, me, I've been on a one-man crusade against black feminism for a minute. And again, I've taken a lot of knocks and shakes verbally from a lot of the feminist blogs and all that, but I don't mind that. I'm not afraid of bullying tactics coming from women with the Negro bedwench mentality. That doesn't scare me. I'm not like the average pussified dude who trembles in his boots because someone will criticize him based on his views. I try to have scholarship to back up my views, but I digress. But there was a dialogue with Bell Hooks and Melissa Perry, and they were discussing feminism. And these women, they're the more, they're like the dedicated or the designated mouthpieces for the media as far as black feminism. They try to push them in the forefront so they can halfway articulate some of the feminist ideology, which again, when you dig into it, it contradicts itself on every turn, but that's not my argument today. I've gone into that. I've dismantled black feminism so many times, it's ridiculous. I've left the forum open for them to call debate. I've called out all of them. Most of these feminists, black feminists, and they will not engage in a debate, but they do like to get into childlike trolling, name calling on Twitter and Facebook. But when it comes to an intellectual debate, they just can't do that because they know that a lot of what they spew is BS and rhetoric. But again, that's not the argument today. That is not the argument today. The topic today is what happened at this talk with Bell Hooks and Melissa Perry. In the middle of their talk, they took a question and answer from the audience. And sure enough, somebody in the audience got up and basically embarrassed black women nationwide. There was a female that got up and she told her story about her being a single mother, low income, and how she has five kids by three different baby daddies. And she wants to know why people are criticizing her, why people are judging her. And I'm going to play the clip in 1 second, but the woman just basically embarrassed black women nationwide. So again, this so-called feminist meeting, this feminist dialogue turned into a big embarrassment for black women and black people. And a lot of people are speaking out against it. And a lot of people, even black women, rightfully so, are criticizing this female who got up talking about all her baby daddies and all that bullshit. And a lot of other writers and bloggers, they've spoken out against it. One in particular, a brother named Dr. Boyce Watkins. And he did an opinion blog. He did a story about Melissa Harris Perry talking about why she should not co-sign that single mother thing in the black community. Because in this clip, or after the clip, Melissa Perry kind of gave the girl a hug and made her seem like everything was cool with what she was doing. And a lot of people are against that. A lot of people criticize Melissa Perry for doing that, for normalizing this woman's situation. A lot of people criticized her, and rightfully so. So there's been a little debate with a lot of women who want to hold on to that single mother mentality, and a lot of people who are tired of having to justify or make excuses for the single mother mentality. A lot of black people, a lot of us in the black community are tired. I've been tired for a long time, and other brothers like me have been tired and been speaking out against it. But now other people in the black community are starting to wake up to it, and they're starting to be tired too. But let me play this clip very quickly to give you an understanding of what's popping with this. Now listen to this.
My name's Tanya Fields. I was actually on Melissa's show last month. I'm a low-income mom living in the...
Yes, I saw you.
And my daughter's first board book was Happy to be Nappy.
All right.
And the words that you guys are saying right now are so sustaining. As a low-income black mother, I have been struggling to find my voice. And so I've been using my platforms, Twitter, Facebook, and talking about this being a whole person, what it means to be unmarried with three baby daddies and four kids. The pushback that I am often feeling is not from the white folks in the community. It is from the other sisters who tear me down, tell me that the reason that I am low income is because I didn't have the insight to choose good.
Hold on, let me pause that for 1 second. Now, she said she don't get criticism from whites. It's the black people. But let me school you ladies on something. The white folks criticize you too. They just don't do it in your face. They criticize you too. Don't get it twisted. They do. Please don't get it twisted. But let me continue. Let me play it again. Here we go.
Hold on.
I think I went back too far.
The pushback that I am often feeling is not from the white folks in the community. It is from the other sisters who tear me down, tell me that the reason that I am low income is because I didn't have the insight to choose good men, that I should have kept my hand out and my mouth closed and my legs closed and kept my hand out. And so I'm trying to figure out, as we talk about this plantation culture, as I try to rise above my circumstances and literally create meals that the babies in my community
can... Wait, what do you mean rise above your circumstances? And the women criticizing this woman, they're correct in criticizing her. Who else? Whose fault is it? She's making choices. And she's talking about rise above her circumstances. You created the circumstances. Let's stop playing games here. Let me play the rest of it.
And eat. How do we... It stops you from wanting to have that voice. I have people who tell me, when you talk about being low income, don't talk about feeding your kids on food stamps. You don't need an audience for that. Suffer in shame and in silence. The situation that you are feeling is your own and is a product of your own bad choice. I am pregnant with my fifth child and just had this man walk out on me. How do you wake up every morning and... I consider myself a black feminist, but some days it's just so hard to get out of the bed and face other black people.
And here they go. They applaud Nat at the audience. These other black feminists, they applaud Nat.
I said, take it. I actually said, take it, Mom.
That's Bell Hooks and Melissa Perry talking to her.
That is exactly what the whole thing is designed to do. The language you used, sit alone in your shame and suffer alone.
Okay, Melissa. Now Melissa's getting up. She's about to hug the girl because she couldn't think of no bullshit to tell her, really. So she's getting up and giving her a dramatic hug and all this stuff. So, yeah, she's hugging her because she couldn't. You can't really justify that. You got to hug her and make it seem like that shit is cool. And that's what a lot of black feminists do. And that's enough of the clip, by the way. Let me get my music back on real quickly. But that's the thing. That's the thing. A lot of people criticize Melissa Perry and bell hooks, but really Melissa Perry for hugging her and making it seem like what she was doing was cool. And they should have criticized her, rightfully so. Because the thing is, man, results don't lie. Everybody can see the mess that we're in as a black community. People can look and see the kind of mess we're in. And people are starting to call out the hood rat behavior, and other respectable black women are finally starting to call that hood rat behavior out. Because the thing is, a lot of times when you criticize hood rat behavior, hood rats, just like black feminists, they will jump behind the black female collective and say, hey, ooh, look at you, you're criticizing us black women. But all black women are not hood rats. All black women ain't out here just banging niggas willy-nilly getting knocked up. So I've never put that burden on all sisters. But the thing is, we as a whole community, we kind of sit back and let it go. Well, you, I don't let it go. I speak out against it. But so many of us in the black community has let that behavior ride. When before, back in the day, we did not let that behavior ride. We would call it out. And we started to let that behavior become normalized. And now because of the result of it, with these kids running around here fatherless, terrorizing the goddamn community, now people are starting to say, hey, let's change the game up a little bit. Let's change the game up a little bit. And now when a lot of people are writing and bloggers are talking about how we don't need to promote the single motherhood mentality, they get criticized and they get the shaming tactics from a small group of people. And really, with Dr. Boyce, for example, when people were criticizing him, these were the exact same people who were talking shit about me a couple of weeks ago. And that's what I noticed. A lot of the Negro Bedwinch black feminist crowd, it's basically the same crowd of people. It's about, I would say about 20 of them, but they got a whole bunch of different screen names. So it's literally the same ones. And that's all they do, is just get on Twitter and Facebook and talk shit. But the thing is, this woman, Tanya whatever, who got up and said that she don't get no criticism from the white community, it's mostly black folks. Well, the thing is, in the 1960s, see, the dominant society, they gave a certain sector of black females who were low income, they gave them the excuse to use as to why they should get pregnant and have multiple kids without fathers. Because again, that started in the 1960s. They gave you an out, because before that, the black community was hell on women out here having kids, and they were hell on dudes too out here just knocking everybody up all willy-nilly, but really on the women, because women, you make a choice. And the thing is, during the 1960s, when they started to give out the welfare and the government set-asides for black women in large numbers, they would let you have the excuse. They would literally make you say, well, the black man left you and you had no choice but to get on welfare, which was not the case necessarily. That wasn't the case in most instances. In most instances, they offered women welfare and all of these benefits and told them, you can't have him in the house if we give you this. So we're going to economically disenfranchise the black community, and we're going to give the women something, but just make sure the man ain't in the house. So there was an incentive given. So we got to be very clear, because we keep getting the abandonment myth that people are still trying to use today that nobody's really buying. The whole myth that the black man abandoned these women, because that happens in very small cases, but for the most part, that abandonment myth is just that, it's a myth. Men are not abandoning these women. That's not the case at all. A lot of these women are just choosing to start these families without the men, because they're being subsidized to do so. We all know this now. The whole Jedi mind trick of dudes abandoning, the black man ain't being responsible, that's a old cop out that nobody's buying anymore. And again, there's some irresponsible dudes out there. I'm not giving them a pass, but we've been talking shit about them for the last 40 years. We can't beat them down any lower. We've been beating the deadbeat dads down for 40 fucking years. We can't beat them down no more. How much more beaten down can we do of the deadbeat dads? They're not getting a pass. If a dude's a deadbeat dad, he's punished. Y'all garnish his wages. Y'all throwing brothers in jail left and right for non-payment of child support. So how much further down do we need to beat up on the deadbeat dads? They are being punished in droves. But again, the single mother mentality having female has been getting a pass, and now people are getting fed up with that because, again, we've been beating on the deadbeat dad for years, and the troubles have gotten worse. So now people are like, okay, there's a new strategy that needs to go in play here. But the thing is, the dominant society just told a lot of the low-income black women, just say that the man left you and we give you these set-asides. And the thing is, the dominant society, they know that was a crock of bullshit. But they wanted to get the sisters dependent enough on the system to control them. If you get people dependent on a system, you can control them. And that's exactly what they're doing to black people right now. And all you have to do is just throw them a couple of crumbs and they can totally control you. And that's exactly what they've been doing for the last 50 years. And the thing is black folks, we need to realize what does not work. The thing is, man, we got to let go of shit that's cultural, that we've accepted as cultural, that's dysfunctional and no longer works for us. Certain things just don't work for us no more. And the whole thing of the black man abandoned the family, that pitch doesn't work no more because nobody's buying it. The whole thing with these women out here having five babies by three different dudes, that ain't working. These kids out here with half-ass raised and broken homes, this shit ain't working. 80% of the cats in prison come from these broken homes, this shit ain't working. Teen mothers out here twerking, stanky asses, it ain't working. And the whole chick with the five baby daddies and all that, that's being used against us now. That's being used against us. See how, understand, when the dominant society gives you an excuse, because again, we do whatever the dominant society allows us to do. They give us the excuses to use. They give us the bullshit to use and then flip the bullshit and use it against us. That's why I get on people about the street harassment. See, a lot of these black feminists jumped on that street harassment thing, which I've been talking about for the last few weeks. You'll jump on that because people in the dominant society gave that to you to jump on. But then they'll turn around and use that against you. Not only are they going to use that to arrest brothers, they're going to do it to sisters too. Just look at the Barney situation in New York, where the black man was arrested for buying an expensive belt. And they arrested a sister too. So I don't know what makes y'all think that they're going to shit on brothers and then give you a pass. That's the part where I don't get, that you don't understand. I don't get why you don't get that. Racism does not give you a pass. I don't know why people align themselves with racism in this country against genders or the other gender in our community, because they're going to get all of us at the end of the day. You have to understand that. And now the jig is up. The jig is up. And again, people in the dominant society, they never believe that. Oh, poor you. Oh, you're a victim. They never believe that low-income black women were victims. Never. They never believe that. They pretended to believe it. They did the whole Maury Povich thing. You watch the Maury Povich show and there's like hood rats on there with 10 dudes they done fucked and they don't know who the baby daddy is. And then they do the test and none of them are the baby's dad. And then Maury puts his arm around the girl. Oh, LaQuisha, it's not your fault. It's not your fault, LaQuisha. We're going to find your baby daddy. We'll be right back after these commercial breaks. So he's patting them hood rats on the head saying that it's not their fault, patronizing them, because he knows that people watching this are looking at her like that slutty, ghetto, ignorant wench. He knows that. The audience is saying that, but the only people who are not aware of it are the hood rats. And that's the problem. The only people right now who are not aware of how everybody's viewing them are the women with the hood rat single mother mentality. You are the only ones who don't think that people ain't looking at you greasy. People are not buying the victim thing. I'm sorry. I will be the bearer of bad news. Y'all tweet bad names to me. Oh, Tariq ain't shit. Fuck Tariq. Give me that. I'll take that. But that's not going to negate the fact that people, not only within the dominant society, but in the black community, in the respectable black community, nobody's co-signing that. Nobody's looking at you as a victim. If you are a single mother, you got three or four kids by three or four different dudes, no one looks at you as a victim. We look at you as the hood rats you are, and people are starting to shun you, as they should. Now, some of you might say, well, what about these dudes? It takes two to tango. Like I said, we've been going in on the dudes forever. But like this young lady who got up talking about she got four baby daddies and five babies and she's pregnant, one on the way and all that. When women talk about all these deadbeat dudes who are fucking them and all these dudes are leaving them, there is one common denominator. The common denominator is you. In any kind of equation, if you want to solve the problem, you always look at the common denominator. That's basic math. In any kind of equation, if you want to solve a problem, you have to look at the common denominator. You can look at all these random numbers, but all of these random numbers mean nothing unless there is a common denominator. So if there's a whole bunch of dusty dudes out here and there's one hood rat getting knocked up by them, well, the hood rat is the common denominator. That's basic math, people. You can't just keep blaming random numbers. So let's just look at this from a mathematics standpoint. The hood rats have to take responsibility. And we, as a community, we just have to stop coddling that hood rat mentality because it's not working for us. It works against us, and we can't keep doing things that work against us because we're losing as a community right now. And again, that whole black men abandon the family myth, that is a lie. For the most part, that's very rare that that happens. A lot of these women are not single mothers because a dude abandoned them. Let's be real, and nobody's buying that. A lot of y'all want to pretend that a lot of these women are just sitting around the house soaking collard greens, cooking dinner, waiting on a dude to come home, and he just bounced and left. That's not what's happening here. The reality here, a lot of these low-income sisters out here are making a choice to have children without a man being involved. That's the reality of it. And you know that's the reality of it. But we live in a blame the black man culture, so a lot of you think that you can get a pass by jumping on that bandwagon, but that's not working for you anymore. Nobody's buying the abandon the family lie. Because you know what the truth is? A lot of these low-income sisters out here are abandoning the family unit. They are abandoning the family unit. They're not trying to establish a family. And they're abandoning the family unit is that's because the dominant society gave them alternative financial means. That's why they're abandoning the family, because of the dominant society giving out set-asides and subsidies. And women going out here having sex with some dusty random dude, that's not abandonment. Fucking a nigga you met on Twitter because he said you were thick, that's not abandonment. That's a choice. And truth is, a lot of times there is nothing established to abandon. You have to establish something in order to abandon it. You haven't established a family, and you never planned on establishing a family. Most of you out here who are having these babies by dudes willy-nilly. And if a bunch of dudes are just abandoning you, you are the problem. See, the thing is, a lot of the women with that black feminist mentality, the black feminist mentality, it contradicts itself on so many turns, it becomes a self-parody of itself. Because the thing is, a lot of these women use the I've been abandoned by the black man is abandoning the family. But then you want to use pro-choice rhetoric. When you get pregnant, you want to use feminist rhetoric like, well, it's my choice, my body, pro-choice this, pro-choice that, choice, 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 my body, my choice, abortion, abortion, my choice, choice, choice. You throw the word choice out there, but when it comes to choosing a motherfucker who ain't dusty, all of a sudden you're a victim. So either you're a victim or you're a motherfucker who had a choice. Which one is it? Because truth be told, you have a choice to choose a dusty dude or to wait to get a motherfucker who's going to be more responsible as far as helping you raise a kid. Because the thing is, look, there's always been dusty dudes. There's always been dusty dudes in the black community because of economic disenfranchisement. You even back in the 1920s, 30s, you had brothers who were winos. There were always dusty dudes in the black community. But the thing is, the sisters were smart enough not to procreate with a dusty dude. Sisters were smart enough not to do that up until the 1960s. And during the 1960s, when you had these set-asides and subsidies that will subsidize you financially if you had a family or had kids, then you became, a lot of sisters became very relaxed on their choices of dudes. Whereas a woman who didn't have any kind of governmental safety net, if she ran out and fucked some dusty dude, she couldn't take care of no kid. And she knew that, so she would be very selective about the dude she got with. That's just real talk. But then women just started saying, okay, well, fuck, I can just fuck a nigga because he has swag. So stuff like that started popping, and you started choosing dudes for the wrong reasons. So again, it goes down to a choice. Everything goes down to a choice. And the thing is, a lot of us now, a lot of people in the black community are just not going for the bullshit no more. Ain't nobody buying the whole victimhood shit. And a lot of people in the respectable black community are starting to say, you know what? We messed up for co-signing this, so we're going to back off of that. We're not going to coddle that single motherhood mentality no more in our community. We have to do better. Out there in Detroit, Reverend Marvin Winans, there was a well-known story that happened a few weeks ago where there was a single mother who wanted to bring her child to some kind of blessing ceremony at the church there where Pastor Winans was blessing the children or whatever. I can't think of exactly what he was doing, but he did not allow this single mother to participate. And she got on the news and the media out there in Detroit complaining that they're discriminating against her because she's a single mother. And I don't blame the brother. I don't blame Pastor Winans, because you don't want to promote that in the church. You don't want to sanction that. You don't want to make that seem like it's cool. I don't blame him. Because right now it's just not a good look. It's just not a good look. And you don't want, and she's like a young chick too. I want to say she had the kid in her teens, but I'm not sure. She's a real young chick. I don't know if she was a teen mother, but he just didn't want to co-sign that in his church. And I feel that. That's not a good look for the next generation, because we're at a point now where we have to get the next generation's mind together. We got to get the next generation. We got to get their mind right. Because right now in the black community, we're losing. We're getting gentrified up out of the neighborhoods. We have no businesses. Our schools are getting shut down. Brothers and sisters are getting on lockdown, getting locked up like crazy. We're getting arrested in the streets. A lot of shit is happening to us in the black community. So we have to get to a point where we show strength, where we have to put our best and our brightest in the forefront. We got to stop half-assing and putting out the weak links and rallying around the weak links. We just don't have that option no more, family. We just don't. And people in the community are instinctively feeling that. And the thing is, a lot of these black feminists, they co-sign single mothers because they can make a buck off that. The whole thing with black feminism is blaming black men. That's their whole MO. That's how they can make a buck. They can get a couple of crumbs from the dominant society. They can get a couple of crumbs from other hood rats by telling them everything is the black man's fault. That's a little hustle that they got going on. You know what's interesting? I picked up on that scam a long time ago. There are sisters within the so-called mainstream black society who are in on the scam. When I did my first book, The Art of Mac, in 2000, my book was a number one seller. It was hot, very hot book. And there were many book publishers courting me to do my next book. This was around 2001, 2002, but right around 2001, they were courting me to do another book, and I was letting everybody know that my next book was going to be for women. The name of the book was going to be called The Game for Women, Giving Women Game. But the book actually turned out to be Player Be Played. There's a book. My book editor at Simon & Schuster renamed the book. They thought that book, the title would be more mainstream, but I'm jumping ahead of myself here. But when I was talking to different book publishers about putting the book out, the book, it was called The Game for Women, and it was going to be what it is, just me giving women real game from a dude's perspective on dating and relationships, telling them the truth. Hardcore truth, and that was the whole hook of the book. A dude telling you some real ass game about men, about yourself, about dating, about what you should do, about what you shouldn't do, and how men really think about you. It was some real hardcore game, and the book turned out great, but that was, we were talking to different publishers, and I was talking to a couple of black editors from a couple of publishing houses. And a lot of the black female editors who knew how to market books towards black females. And I found something very interesting. One black female editor that I talked to at a publishing house, they offered me a lot of money for the Game for Women book, which turned out to be Player Be Played eventually. But they offered me a lot of money. But it was one condition. Because at the time, a lot of times when a motherfucker's hot, you know, they don't give a fuck. You know, if your name is hot, they'll have you write about anything and put the book out. But I'm all about the craft. I'm all about the art. But this black female executive, this editor at the publisher, she told me, we'll give you this amount of money. And it was a large amount of money. But the way your book is, it's too hard. It's too truthful. You got to tell black women what they want to hear. And when she said that, I was shocked. I was very, very shocked that she would say that. And in so many words, she was telling me, you just got to kind of bullshit the black female audience. Just tell them they're queens. And this is a black female telling me this. Just tell them what they want to hear and your book will sell. And we'll give you this large amount of money. And I actually turned it down. I'm like, I can't really write like that. I can't just write bullshit knowing that I'm writing bullshit. I'm not going to tell them what they want to hear because that kind of defeats the purpose of the book. So I went with Simon & Schuster, who gave me considerably less money. They gave me a nice chunk of change, but they gave me much less than what I would have gotten from the black female editor at the other publisher. But at that moment, I said, okay, a lot of these black females out here in high positions, they're in on the scam. They're out here just basically running game on sisters to turn a buck. And I'm not feeling that. I was never feeling that. So my whole approach is just do me, tell the truth. And if I ruffle a couple of feathers, so be it. But at least I got the truth out there. And that's why I'm always relevant in the game. Because I'm not a bullshit artist. I'm not going to tell you some shit that you want to hear, and I know that it's detrimental to you. I just can't do that. That's just not my MO. But I say that to say this. That's happening now with a lot of these black feminists in high positions. Just like in the tape that I played earlier. They were going along with that bullshit. This woman talking about she got 4 kids and about to have her 5th one by 3 different dudes. And they go along with that. And these black women, especially in high positions, they know that's bullshit. They know it's raggedy. But again, they know that they can get a buck up out of you. And they know that dysfunctional behavior will continue to destroy the black community, which is what a lot of them black feminists want to do. They don't care nothing about the black community. I've said this a million times, and people are starting to see that. But again, a lot of these corporate women are in on the scam. If you look at a lot of like ratchet reality shows, let's be real, a lot of them have black female producers. Let's just keep it 100. And with a lot of brothers, man, it's almost a damn if you do, damn if you don't thing, because I got criticized for telling brothers to not mess with ratchets. And the thing is, if dudes mess with ratchet females who have kids, and then he gets caught up and his wages are garnished, people are looking at him like, well, you should have known better. You shouldn't have messed with her. You should have known not to mess with her. So brothers get criticized for messing with women who are ratchet, and they get criticized for avoiding women who are ratchet. Because when brothers say, hey, I don't want to fuck with her who's low income with a couple of kids because that's raggedy, then he's criticized. Like, people are like, well, you criticizing black women. And that's the thing I don't like. People try to make ratchetness synonymous with black women, and that's not the case. All of black women are not ratchet. But that's what happens when we turn a blind eye to ratchet behavior, and when we let ratchetness fester in our community. And again, when we try to tell brothers, hey man, don't mess with a chick like that. Don't mess with a chick that five other dudes then left, and don't mess with her. Because we got to be honest. Every person out here is not compatible with people. Just like dudes. Some dudes you shouldn't be in a relationship with. And let's be honest, there's some black women that you should not be in a relationship with. Some of them don't have their shit together. We have to be honest about that. But when you say a sister don't have her shit together, don't start with, oh, you're misogynist and you're bashing. That's not bashing. You're just being cautious. You're just being cautious. But this whole stuff about all this, if I have a whole bunch of kids, it's not my fault. I'm trying to rise above my circumstances. Nobody's buying that. And that feminist meeting that Bell Hooks and Melissa Perry had, the thing is, that black female going out there talking about her baby daddies and all that, that's the clip that people are going to use and play and justify damaging the black community. People use hood rat behavior, they use that to justify, to continue to disenfranchise the black community. They use that against us, and we have to stop giving people ammunition to use against us. The reality is, we all have to be held accountable. When black men do dumb shit, they have to suffer the consequences of that. Black men always have to suffer the consequences of their actions, all the time. No one makes excuses for black men and their bad behavior. Nobody makes excuses for black men and fucked up behavior. But the thing is, there's some black women out here, not all, but there's some who make fucked up decisions. And there's some sisters out here who are just not fit to be good parents. And that's a reality that we have to deal with. That's not bashing anybody. We just have to be real about that. There's some people out here who are just not good mothers in the black community. They're not fit. They keep making fucked up decisions. And we don't have to keep making excuses for that. And the problem is, we praise that. We praise people like the Rachel Gentiles. I know when Rachel Gentile was in the Trayvon Martin case, black people were making excuses for Rachel Gentile. And again, we keep doing stuff that works against us. The Rachel Gentile situation, she fucked that case up. When she got on that stand acting hood radish and talking crazy, the case was over. People use that to justify doing shit against us. We don't even realize when people are using shit against us. We embrace shit that's used against us. We have to let weak shit go. You notice white folks, they don't speak in favor of Octomom. You don't see white people defending her. That's an embarrassment to the white community. Show me the last time you've seen a white person making excuses or embracing Honey Boo Boo. That embarrasses white people. And other races of people, certain things embarrasses, it embarrasses them, and they don't embrace that. Things that are an embarrassment to them, they stay away from it, or they don't speak up for it. They just kind of let that slide by the wayside. They don't co-sign that. They don't hold that up. When we hold that up, we're co-signing it, and then people look at all of us like that, and then we get mad when they stereotype us like that. But the thing is, when we hold on to raggedy stereotypes of the single baby mama having all these kids by different dudes, and we protect that image and coddle around these women and hold them up and protect them, that's being used against us, and people look at us as being unworthy. See, this is why we have situations with the, like the Renisha McBride, the sister in Detroit, they, who got shot in the face, shot and killed, and they had to think about arresting the dude who did it. You see that? This is why we have situations like that. They have to decide whether they're going to arrest the guy who shot a black woman in her face or not. Because the thing is, you think that the dominant society does not criticize you, and they do. They don't think you're worthy. They think you're trash. Please don't get it twisted. They don't have to say it in your face. They say it behind closed doors, and their actions show this. I don't know where black people get this thing where they can act ratchet and ghetto and have this degenerate behavior, and it's only black folks criticizing them. No, black folks are starting to criticize you because we get the brunt of the retribution for that. But those in the dominant society, they criticize you all the time, and they stay far away from you, and they use that to justify shutting down the schools, gentrifying you. They use that as justification for disenfranchising the whole black community. That's the excuse they're using now. The single mothers out here who cannot control their sexual behavior. You think that they're just criticizing the brothers. They're criticizing you too. And that's just a reality of the game, family. Get mad at me all you want to. But the thing is, we got to start praising the right things when it comes to black females. See, in the black community, we praise dysfunction with our women. We praise a lot of dysfunction in the black community. And one of my callers called up the other day on my show. She was like, she was a skinny high school student. She's like, I'm skinny and all these fat chicks are always getting props. And she did make a point to a certain degree, because in our community, we do praise overweight sisters. We do praise single mothers. We do praise loud and sassy women. We do praise women with the best looking lace fronts. But the thing is, we don't praise an athletic or fit sister like we should. We don't praise a sister with a beautiful natural hairstyle. We don't praise an academically high achieving sister, because a lot of sisters who are like that, they're considered bougie or stuck up. We have to start praising that. We don't praise the sister who work in the community. We used to, but we don't. We don't praise sisters who are grassroots activists. We don't praise that. I go all around the country and I see sisters out here working in the community that don't nobody even know about. But we know about the hydrogel having strippers. We know about them, but we don't know about the sister out here that's trying to build a school, a private school. We don't know about that. We barely hear about that. That's why I try to put them in my movies, by the way. So that's the long and the short of it, family. Are you finally fed up with the single mother syndrome? Are we fed up? What are we going to do? Because again, the jig is up. We can't use the "we've been abandoned by the black man" excuse no more. We're being judged on all fronts. We got to step up to the plate and do things correctly. We can't half-ass do stuff out here, because again, this dysfunctional behavior is going to be used against us, folks. And having Twitter temper tantrums on Twitter and Facebook, that's not the answer either. Nobody's buying the bullshit. It's time to take responsibility. It's time to be responsible for your actions. It's time to make better choices. Because you do make a choice, ladies, about who the dudes you're going to lay up with. You make a choice. And this is a conversation I have with my daughter all the time about choosing the right people. When you get older, you choose the right people. You can't play that victim role if you chose somebody. And if you out here choosing dusty, irresponsible niggas, nobody's looking at you as a victim. And I'm sorry. Ladies, if you got multiple kids by multiple baby daddies, nobody's looking at you as a victim no more. That's just, and I'm not beating up on you. I'm not calling nobody names, none of that stuff. But this is just the reality that we have to accept, and we have to move on, and we have to build as a community. Anyway, y'all, that's been Tariq Elite Radio. Check out HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1 and 2. Don't forget to go to TariqElite.com. Get all my clothing, gear, cologne, sunglasses, all that good stuff. The sunglasses are still on sale. And a lot of people, if you're looking for the new shows, go to TariqRadio.com. Some people are still going to MacLessonsRadio.com, and all the old shows are there, but you got to get the new shows at TariqRadio.com, and you need to go to iTunes, and you need to subscribe to Tariq Radio to get all the new shows downloaded on your iPhone, iPad, or iPod. All right, family. I'm out. I'll see you Sunday on Ustream.